example for how to conduct business. And I'm just personally an admirer of both leaders here. But first, and I'll be looking for Speaker Sexton here, but first, the Honorable Randy McNally, our Lieutenant Governor, is with us. He's a native of Oak Ridge. He's a graduate of Memphis State University and graduated from the University of Tennessee College of Pharmacy in 1969. And he worked for several years in some small businesses, community pharmacies, and then served 31 years at Methodist Medical Center in Oak Ridge as a staff pharmacist, retiring in 2010. He first answered the call to public service in 1978 when he won a seat in the State House and served four terms. And I think he loved his work on the House Finance Ways and Means Committee so much that he later served as chair of the Senate Finance Committee, and admirably so, did a wonderful job on that committee. And under his leadership, Tennessee earned and has maintained its cherished AAA credit rating. And Randy McNally is a two-time award winner of the NFIB's Guardian of Small Business Award, one of only a few multiple award winners. And most recently, we recognized them, some of you on this call, in 2019. And I'll stop here and see if Speaker Sexton is on. Speaker Sexton, I don't see you quite yet. Nope. So, Lieutenant Governor, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to look for Cameron and turn it over to you and just thank you for giving us some insights as we head back into session next week. The floor is all yours, sir.
Well, thank you, Jim, and it's a great honor to get to work with you and also with Speaker Cameron Sexton. He's done a great job in the House, and I really am sorry that we're going through such a tough time right now, but I'm sure he'll be a great asset to leading the House and be a great help to the state of Tennessee and to Governor Lee, and I join him in that effort. A little bit about, since my background was finance, a little bit about the state's financial condition. We have $1.2 billion in the rainy day fund, which can be used for one-time expenses. We're hoping to hold on to a good portion of that because we don't know what for sure is going to happen next year. We're hoping that the curve has been flattened and is now on the decrease, and we'll see sales tax revenue pick up and business tax revenue pick up. It's according to what I feel, and it's simply a estimate right now, I think it will take probably close to $500 million to close the books this year, and probably a little somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 to $1.2 billion to cut from next year's budget. We worked with the governor to speedily end and cut what we thought were what we needed to, but it has developed into a lot bigger problem than we anticipated. So when we adjourned, we had cut about $1 billion from the governor's proposed budget, and we'll need to cut at least that much more in the proposed budget, and that will be recurring expenses. So it'll be a difficult thing to do going forward. The Senate is looking at bills that we feel either increase revenue or decrease expenditures. And also, that's one category of bills. The second category are bills related to the COVID virus, such as the COVID virus safe harbor bill. And then the third class are bills and resolutions that are time sensitive. And we're trying to limit ourselves to just taking up those particular issues. The rest we feel like we can address in the fall. When we come back in January. And of course we'll have to start over on all bills that we don't deal with this session. The Safe Harbor bill, Chairman Bell is the sponsor of it. He's also chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And I think you'll find that, Chairman Bell is a great person to have sponsor that bill. He is a small businessman. He runs his own business in the Cleveland or in the Bradley County and Polk County areas. But I think you'll see what the needs of the business community to protect themselves against frivolous lawsuits. I think you'll see a strong bill come out of that committee and come out of the Senate. On some other issues, I know some of the business people have had a problem with ghost employees, and if we need to do anything on a legislative level, we will. I think there's already enough law that it might be that we just need to encourage the commissioner through rulemaking, and certainly we'll be glad to do that for people who are just dodging the request for them to come back to work. And I know that's a big problem. I've had personal experiences with it from people in my district who have complained about it. And I think the COVID testing for employees, I think Tennessee is probably doing about the most testing on a per capita basis of any of the states. We're up in the 400,000 range. And the antibody testing is also being done, which is also critical because what you want to see are people that are negative but have enough antibodies to fight off the any COVID infection. And that out of the 6.5 million individuals, we still have a long way to go. And once we do the test, actually the results are only for that particular time period as far as the COVID test, but the antibody test gives you a prediction that they will be able to fight off the disease if exposed to it. And of course, any other issues, I'm happy to work with Jim and your members, but I'll turn it back to Jim at this point. Jim, are you there?
I just did a classic need to mute thing. I'm sorry there, Lieutenant Governor. Thank you for your comments. And I'm going to properly introduce our honorable, the Honorable Cameron Sexton here, the 83rd Speaker of the House. And he's here also to provide some insights on the upcoming session. He lists this on his website. He's as a pragmatic conservative. And I couldn't agree more with that. He is very pragmatic and inquisitive and centered and just off to a great start as Speaker of the House. He holds a Bachelor of Arts degree from the University of Tennessee. He's very passionate about health issues, specifically the health and well-being of Tennessee citizens, and he's got quite a resume there. And back home, he works at Cumberland County Bank in business development. He's on the bank's board of directors. Speaker Sexton, he earned his first Guardian of Small Business Award last year, very deservedly so. And Speaker Sexton, just a couple minutes here to provide some insights on what's going on in the House, and maybe we can take some questions from some members.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Can you hear me? Is that a yes?
Yes, sir. Thank
you. All right, very good. Well, the one thing I have learned in politics, if you can't call yourself something, no one else will. So, pragmatic conservative, might as well define myself.
It's a good moniker.
Thank you. I appreciate being on the call. Great having Lieutenant Governor McNally on here. Apologize for being a little bit late. I heard a lot of what he said. I think we're happy to be back and working on some very big policy ideas, some good policy ideas. I think Lieutenant Governor mentioned the liability one for businesses in our state, which is a big one coming up. And there's some other things we need to work on as well. So I think from the House side, we're things are functioning well. We second day of subcommittee. I think yesterday only 14 out of 70 bills came out of our subcommittees yesterday. We'll see how many come out today. But as always, we're always looking to pass good public policy, but do it efficiently and effectively. And the biggest challenge we have, obviously, is our budget and what that looks like. Not so much this year. We can handle this year with one-time money and plugging that hole. Trying to cut half a billion to over $1 billion of recurring funding can be a little tough, but we're hopeful, working to the challenge, and looking forward to working with Lieutenant Governor over the next several weeks as we continue to move Tennessee in a very positive place to help our businesses get back on their feet, to help employers get their employees back to working and off of unemployment because they want to stay on it till July 31st, and doing things and answering some questions about the CARES Act and some things we might be doing in that to help businesses as well. So I appreciate the opportunity and happy to take any questions.
Fantastic. Thank you, Speaker Sexton. We do have a couple of members who do want to engage, and I was going to ask David Hornsby. I believe you're on from Executive Travel and Parking here in Nashville. Can you unmute?
Yes, I am.
Great. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first, thank you, leaders, for everything you do and for your leadership during this time. Every time I turn on my TV, it seems like more and more the proportion of commercials for personal injury attorneys goes up and up. And I just worry about the wolves at the gate, you know, licking their chops for, you know, any opportunity this presents. So I'm curious, what's the status of the Safe Harbor bill? And as long as, you know, what protection can we get as long as we follow all the guidelines and do everything we reasonably can to protect our employees and our customers?
Who wants to go first? Lieutenant Governor, I think you talked about Chairman Bell is eager to carry this bill, and I believe your staff has been looking at language. What's the latest? Is he still there?
I'll go ahead and chime in real quick.
Okay.
He might have a little technical difficulty. What I will say is I think language is still being worked on. I think NFIB, the chamber, and 38 other groups, I believe, last count I had somewhere in there, is working on the language for the bill. So I haven't seen it yet, but I have confidence that it will, based on all the people who are involved in the process and trying to craft the language, that we'll have a bill that I think will be very pro-business that businesses will like across the board. So we're hopeful. You know, I think I can't remember if there's a caption bill out there or if we have to have a new bill, but we'll do whatever is necessary to get it in the committee process and get it started. I think it probably will start sometime next week would be my guess as we move forward.
Great.
Thank you.
Lieutenant Governor?
I'd agree with Cameron there is a caption bill, I think, that we can use, but we're happy to run another one through if you feel like you need another one. And I know the House and the Senate will come to an agreement, and that's a high priority for our Judiciary Committee, which will be meeting on probably early next week. Excuse me.
Well, we appreciate that commitment. We did a survey nationally, and we found that, and this was an op-ed actually in the Tennessean today, that Bradley Jackson at the Tennessee Chamber and I drafted together, and the NFIB survey found that 70% of our members are concerned that they're going to be exposed to this excess liability, and only 6% are not concerned. So that got our attention, and that matched up with the anecdotal calls and emails that we were getting, and we're looking for a fair standard. So I think both speakers, you all know that we're not trying to be extreme here, just trying to get back to business. Hugh Morrow Jr. with Ruby Falls in Chattanooga, you had a question?
Yes, Lieutenant Governor and Speaker Sexton, last time I saw you, I was handing you a $1 billion check of sales tax remittance from the hospitality industry. I'm afraid it's going to be a little smaller this year, but we're doing the best we can.
Do we cash that yet?
I hope you did. I hope you did. I look at that picture occasionally just to see where we need to get back to, which we will do. And we've already talked a little bit. I had a question written out here, but we've already talked about this unemployment issue, and the phase one part of it was fairly easy because we got a few of our people back and we've gotten started and in smaller numbers. But as we start looking at phase two and phase three and getting and needing more labor and bringing people back, especially when we look into July, the 1st of July, but through the end of July, we've got to get these folks back and working, and not only the people we had, but new people. Is there any specifics on the rulemaking or anything coming out of the Labor Department on this unemployment reactivation that they are doing, or anything that we can do as employers to help them along the way?
So, go ahead,
Mr.
Governor.
This is Randy. I think that whatever we can do to help in that situation, and whatever recommendations that we can get, you from your organization or from Jim and NFIB, we certainly want to be able to be on the receiving end of the $1 billion check again. And I'm sure Speaker Sexton, I'm sorry, feels the same way. But any suggestions that you have, if there's places where the department's not acting in full accordance with the law and the intent of the law, and certainly the intent is once the individual is notified that they have to come back to work, and we'll be glad to work with you on that.
Okay.
No, yeah, I agree with the Lieutenant Governor. You know, I mean, if someone's offered the job to go back, our understanding is they're supposed to go back. If they don't go back, then they lose their unemployment, even the 600. The question is, how long will it take them to realize that the department to realize that they shouldn't be sending them a check? That's always been part of the problem. So I'm sure it's going to be like in the old days, is we're going to have to try to reclaim some of that money from them at some other date. What I will say is, on a side note, is with the Lieutenant Governor's help, we got the governor to put in, I think, $280 million or so dollars into the unemployment trust fund to keep it above the $1 billion mark for now, to hopefully not have your unemployment insurance to go up through no fault of your own. So we think that's a step in the right direction. We're hoping we can hold that off for a while where it doesn't get under that cap. Time will tell. But it was a necessary initial infusion of money to help stabilize that fund during this short period of time. So that's already been done. We appreciate NFIB's help on that as well as the chamber. The other thing that's being looked at is on the CARES Act, trying to use some of that money to help businesses that have been affected more severe than others through the shutdown, through lost sales tax or lost business taxes or something of that nature. Still in the process of defining that. I talked with the Lieutenant Governor yesterday, and we have another call coming up with the administration about how to help businesses in that endeavor to try to help them get back on their feet a little bit more. So we're hopeful.
Jim, can I add just one follow-up,
sure,
please? The getting people back to work part of it, I think, is extremely important. The other thing that we're seeing in these first few weeks of starting back up is we're not getting any applications from people, new people. And the requirement to look for work has been taken off of this unemployment program. So it's not only your current or former employer, but it's also you got to get out and look for work. That needs to be required so we can start getting people out, and we're not waiting till the end of July that everybody decides to get off the couch, so to speak. And I don't mean that in a derogatory manner.
I think that was through executive order that was taken out, right? So hopefully,
correct,
in the short term, the executive order will take that back away to where they have to look. One thing I failed to mention, and Hughes, especially since Ruby Falls and Chattanooga, is one of the things we've talked about is the convention bureaus in the big areas that rely on hotel motel tax money and to fund their budget, to fund their advertising and marketing, that it's just not there because the hotels are running 10% and there's no money. I think the Chattanooga Bureau said that they lost 60-some-odd percent maybe of their budget. And so we, Lieutenant Governor and myself, have had conversations with the governor about trying to see if we can use some of that CARES Act money to help bring some stabilization to the bureaus in the big cities to allow them to go ahead and start marketing and trying to bring in tourism as well into those areas and start doing that to help the areas get back up on their feet.
Well, I sit on that board too, so you'll be hearing from me. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. And just the executive order that you were referring to, Speaker Sexton, is, I believe it's number 15. And I did talk to the Department of Labor last week and yesterday, and they are in the process of unwinding that one. They've got some technical things they have to do, but that's very important to address Hugh's concern and others, and so hopefully we'll see that happen very soon. On the refusal to work form that's up on the Labor's website, as of last Thursday, 1,300 employers had accessed it to report, but you're right, this is going to be a big administrative challenge for the department to follow up on these situations where folks are just declining to come to work when they don't have that CARES Act protection to stay home. Some of them do. Let's see, Connie Vaughn with McKee Foods in Collegedale. Do you have a question? Do you want to unmute? Connie, are you there?
Hey, yes, I am. Thank you for the call. Okay, thank you. And speakers, we appreciate you taking the time. And I have a question for you, and I had it written down, but I'm just going to wing it because I can't find it now. So, but you've addressed some of my concerns, so I appreciate you taking the time. The question I have for you is somewhat around the Safe Harbor bill. Thank you for your leadership, and we certainly appreciate you all working on that and looking forward to seeing that language. My question is around the state's role. How do you see the state moving forward with testing of state employees? And I'm looking for how the state might set the example all across our state with state employees following guidelines and the testing so that employers, in our case, a larger employer, could have an example of how we should, what might be a best practice around testing our employees. So any insights in that and where the state may go moving forward? I know the state's doing quite a lot of work around testing. You mentioned that the numbers are staggering, so we appreciate all that effort and the state setting the example and getting our citizens tested. I'm wondering what might go forward with state employees, whether that's requirement for masks or temperature checks, those sorts of things. Any insight into that we could use for best practices?
House and Senate are going about it a little differently with access to the building. So it's, and I haven't been down there yet, but that's part of, I don't know, Speaker Sexton, do you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, what I will say, so, you know, the governor came out with the Tennessee pledge, which is temperature checks, good hygiene, wearing a mask. This week at the Cordell Hall, since the House is meeting, the Senate's not meeting until Thursday, we've kind of implemented the temperature checks at the door, the questions at the door, making sure they have a mask when they come in, making sure a mask are being worn, 6 foot social distancing. So we're trying to mirror and mimic what the Tennessee pledge is asking businesses. I felt like if the governor is asking businesses to put up plexiglass and protect their employees and do X, Y, Z, then I should follow suit as well. And so we tried our best to mirror the Tennessee pledge. The one thing I can say that as far as state employees being tested, that's a determination for the governor. You know, there's so much free testing out there that anybody could have gone to free test at their health department if they wanted to. And so whether or not we require people to go get tested, I'm not sure we're there. But I think making sure that people understand what the symptoms are, temperature, loss of taste or smell, what that looks like and not coming to work and having a very good idea on contact tracing, which I think is important to isolate if someone does become symptomatic, is almost as important as testing at this point to limit the damage, and then you can test. In Chattanooga, they came back with an idea when I was down there, and I passed it off to the governor, calling it the Tennessee Pledge Plus, which is a little bit higher thing, because I think part of what we're worried about is as we open, that's great, but if people don't want to come to Ruby Falls, if people don't want to go to the restaurants, it doesn't help us being open if people aren't wanting to get out because they don't feel confident or safe. And so part of what we talked about is maybe coming out with a Tennessee Pledge Plus, and you come up with, you know, 10 things that everybody would do, whatever that may be, temperature checks, asking questions, mandatory mask, whatever it may be, cleaning every 2 hours, whatever. But coming out with something else that businesses and attractions and hotels and buildings can post so people can feel confident and safe that if they walk into that business, they know that these 10 things are happening. There's been some talk about the liability concerns of that, but if we pass the bill, I think that's a moot point on that end. But I think there's things that we can do to help build consumer confidence, and that's the thing is we have 8 states around us, so we have a lot of people who are looking for somewhere to go, and it really helps in Memphis and Chattanooga and Nashville and Knoxville being so close to other states if we can provide confidence to people to feel safe if they can come to Tennessee. So hopefully we can figure that out as well.
Thank you. Governor?
Well, thank you. And we're doing similar things that the Tennessee pledge has provided, you know, wearing face masks and hand washing and making sure our employees that if they do have any of the symptoms that they get tested. And actually I was tested last week. The only thing with the testing for the virus, active virus, is that it is just good for that specific time period. And with the antibody testing, I think hopefully we'll find out that a lot of people have developed antibodies, and you know, there's something called herd immunity. Once a certain percentage of people are immune to specific disease, then the transmission is cut to next to zero. But I think anything we can do to help encourage people to get out and certainly abide by the rules of the pledge and, you know, not get into real large groups and things like that, that we're you know, we'll be very supportive of. It's a little bit easier on the Senate side. We're dealing with less employees and less members, and we'll certainly changing our seating arrangement so that people are 6 feet apart and doing things like that to set an example for the people in the state of Tennessee, because, you know, they will be the press and individuals will be watching. But I certainly will work with Speaker Sexton and the governor to do what we can to encourage tourism and encourage people to get out and shop, you know, the big items in our sales tax base or cars and construction of new buildings and homes. And I talked to one of the car dealers today, and their projection before the virus for last month was 900 sales, and they were at 888. So that was good news. So we're hopeful, and we'll certainly work with Governor Lee and the administration. And I know the House and the Senate will be there very strongly to support tourism and business.
And I would just add, those are great overviews. I would just add that I believe Governor Lee personally has done an excellent job of managing this crisis with the Tennessee Pledge by engaging the business community and the Economic Recovery Group and getting feedback from industries on best practices, implementing a lot of those, communicating over and over how important this is. And so we've heard, Connie, that Tennessee's way ahead of the game in so many ways, contributing money to the trust fund, you know, the health approach with testing. It's been impressive to watch Tennessee's reaction to this. But so that's a little personal aside. Did both leaders have just a minute or two more? Is that for one other question? And is that okay? And I'll tee this up. I know that State Representative Martin Daniel is on this call. He's a longtime NFIB member and a Guardian of Small Business Award winner. He's not running again in the next election, but he's been a great friend. He's on here, and he may have a question after I throw one out here. But if you do have a question, you can put it in the chat before we go. If we don't get to it, we'll get it to the speakers. But my question kind of goes back to what both leaders were talking about, which is small business relief for small business owners. And we had a call with Governor Lee last week, and one of the members from Memphis, Stan White, Mark White's brother, sounds exactly like Mark White, but he has a party rental business, and his business is going through it. And he asked the governor about what kind of relief would be available. The PPPL is out there. There's a lot of forgiveness issues. The Main Street Lending Program has not been implemented. It's a ways away. And there are states that are doing grants, and there are states that are doing bridge loan programs. A few states are doing a hybrid approach. But how do we manage a grant program that's meaningful and effective and not wasteful? And how do we look at a bridge loan program that will help businesses like Stan White, who's now looking at going into debt to keep alive until his business comes back?
I think Cameron had addressed this earlier. I think that he and I and the governor did have a conversation about this, and I think you'll see something coming out very shortly, within days rather than weeks. And the governor and Butch Ely and his people are working very tirelessly on this. They've got a group put together that is going to make sure we provide some relief for bridge type grants, and it will be for retail businesses as well as industry in Tennessee. And we'll monitor it to make sure it provides the necessary relief and doesn't get money to people that are closed, like the situation at Jamestown Hospital with the federal government when they gave money to that particular hospital. And I know Congressman Rose and Senator Blackburn and the U.S. Congress are working on getting that money back and getting it to where it should go. But I'll let Cameron mention anything else, but we have both been on a conversation as late as yesterday about this.
Yeah, thanks, Lieutenant Governor. I think we both agree with the concept that the governor's wanting to do. I think, you know, hammering out the details, and we'll see what that looks like. It could be a phased approach, or it could be a one-time thing for a lot of businesses. You know, it's going to have to wait and see. There's a lot of things you kind of have to go through, like what Lieutenant Governor was saying, is making sure there's not businesses that close shop in January and somehow they appear on the list because you're using sales tax revenue and they look like they lost everything when they were really never open. So I think there's certain things in there we need to do. I think it's on our radar to help. You know, Mississippi did something like this for small businesses. You know, I think they were given $2,000, $3,000, I think, to business. I think hopefully we're committed to doing a little bit more than that, maybe per business. I don't want it to be viewed like the sales tax, where businesses, it's they view it not really that much money to really help them. And so, you know, like the sales tax, when we rolled off the sales tax on food by 0.25%, people are like, you know, $50, right? So we want to make sure if we do something that we do it well enough, that would really help businesses stay afloat and give them a big injection to help them survive instead of maybe surviving a day or two or something. So I hope we can get through that process, and we're going to have some more conversations this week as we go through it.
I appreciate that, both of you as leaders, and the accountability piece of that means a lot too. And so the grants, I know that's the governor's talked about that, but he hasn't really talked as much about bridge loan. And Stan White is swiping a credit card to here in other businesses, event planners and wedding planners and businesses that may not have been forced to close, but they're needing some sort of flexible loan program. Is that also on the table?
I haven't heard any conversations about bridge type loans at this point. Doesn't mean that it's not there. I think the thought process is if you can do the grant, that's an easier thing to set up to get through, unlike kind of like the PPP program that the SBAs did that required businesses probably to take about, I think it was about 4 or 5 days on average to get the application turned in. So I think they want to have a little bit easier process, and it doesn't mean that you can't go back later and set up a bridge loan program. But the businesses – like that in Memphis that had to shut down, that lost basically all their businesses because of gatherings, I would assume is what happened.
That's right.
You would hope that in the phase one, if we do it in phases, that they would be taken into account of getting the money faster through us to help them, you know, pay off those credit cards or stay in business. So, but the bridge loan program, I'll be happy to, you know, if y'all have any information on how to look at one and what it would look like, be happy to take a look at it and see if there's a way that we can incorporate it or work ourselves through it.
Governor, anything to add there? I do have one bit of information for Speaker Sexton on that, but I'll wait, defer to you. Okay. Speaker Sexton, I do believe there's you may have heard of Pathway Lending. And they do have the infrastructure here. They've got a small business bridge loan program that I think they're testing in Memphis. They're testing this bridge loan down in Memphis the last 2 weeks or so. And they do have a proposal in front of the administration to set up something like North Carolina did with existing infrastructure. So it is up there in the building behind you. So appreciate any look.
That's
at that.
That's not real. It's virtual.
What's that?
I'm kidding.
Is that a fake one? Is this kind of like the golf course thing?
Picture. I'm kidding.
You're really back in Crossville?
I'm in the Ozarks, actually.
You're in the Ozarks. Nice. Yeah. The Arkansas Pledge, right.
So, Yeah, so let me ask you this. How much money did North Carolina put in there?
North Carolina, the original program was years ago was a hurricane relief issue for them, and so it was like $25 million. And the legislature approved a $125 million program. And, you know, it fit the niche there. And I do believe, just based on what we're hearing, there are businesses that are in that smaller mid-size to mid-size smaller range, like Stan White's business, that needs something else. And the PPPL scares them. And we're, you know, waiting on Main Street, and the EIDL was a disaster. I mean, let's just candidly. So there are some states. Vermont's got a bridge loan program they're looking at through the legislature, and so it's there. It just
is it capped? People. Is the amount capped at a certain number?
Yeah, I believe in it's up to 50 employees, maybe $50,000. I think is the amount, but it's really designed to help you, you know, for 3-6 months plus. It gives you a few years to pay it off. It's a low rate.
Kind of like a line of credit is what you're saying.
It is close, and some of your bankers are going to balk at helping right now. And you know, so the state, whether you fund it through state appropriations or the restrictive federal monies, which you all are looking at, it's something that they're looking at upstairs behind you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Chairman Daniel, I don't know if you had a question, or there's probably something here in the chat. I'm not good at this technology thing here. So, Natalie, you might need to help me. Chairman Daniel, you're on here. Did you have anything to add? Questions?
Yeah, just as a reminder, if you join by phone, you can unmute by hitting *67 and also remuting your phone. And if you join online, hover your cursor over the lower one-third portion of your screen, and you should see a menu bar to mute and unmute. And you can always email questions to natalie.robinson@nfib.org if you're having trouble muting and unmuting.
Well, we're at the end here, and I just want to thank both Lieutenant Governor McNally and Speaker Sexton. If there's anything you want to close with, it's just we're very grateful for the time. We will send this to our members. A lot of them are busy, honestly, just busy trying to get back up and running. You know, I think we had a little lighter turnout than normal, but I think they're dealing with a lot to try and get back up and running and get those revenues back into Nashville. Anything to close?
Yeah, I'd like to thank you, and also personally thank Speaker Sexton and Governor Lee for the efforts that they've done to protect Tennessee as well as to reopen Tennessee. And I think you'll see that the legislature responds to their efforts and to making sure that we're safely reopened and that we take care of the and help the businesses get back on their feet, because that's where we get the majority of our tax revenues for a $34 billion budget. But thank you, Jim, for your efforts and the efforts of your membership.
Thank you, Governor.
Yeah, and I would just like to thank you all for helping us during this difficult time, whether it was on the Economic Recovery Group, the subcommittees, whether it was giving insight to Lieutenant Governor, myself, or the Governor. We're not in your shoes on a day-in, day-out basis, so we don't know the struggles firsthand, so it's really helpful. You all being as active as you have been with us and helping guide us to help businesses survive and thrive in Tennessee again. And I appreciate being able to work alongside Lieutenant Governor, who has served our state admirably over the last many, many years. And I know with his leadership and the governor's leadership, when we come out of this, we'll be stronger and better than we were prior. So appreciate your all's work and look forward to continue working with you.
Thank you, leaders. Really appreciate you being on. And there were more than 50 members on the ERG. It was amazing to see every one of them said yes, the volunteer state, right? But every one of them was asked and they all served. Not one said no. So that was pretty cool. Y'all have a great rest of the week, and blessings to all. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.